D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you, joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, we've been talking college football playoffs, specifically a column by our very own Joe Rexroad in The Athletic. It's going to be a showdown between Indiana and Tennessee, it appears, for that final college football playoff spot. Where are you in this argument between Indiana and Tennessee?
I mean, if we're going to actually do what the committee is tasked with doing, they are not told in that room that they are supposed to select the most deserving team. They are supposed to select the best teams. Tennessee has a 5-point loss at Arkansas. A 14-point loss at Georgia. They have a 7-point win over Bama. And then the next best win is at Oklahoma. Look, Indiana can control everything with a win over Ohio State. But, I mean, it is drastically different with the schedules. Even in an easier, quote-unquote, schedule in the SEC for someone like a team like A&M this year. Way different comparing the two conferences right now. The SEC and the Big Ten, though, they're in lockstep with this. Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti put this whole thing together. So I'm expecting both conferences to get the same amount of teams.
So let's assume Indiana loses to Ohio State. Let's say it's a close loss. So they'll finish 11-1. If Tennessee wins out, they'll be 10-2, if I have that correct.
Yep.
So in your mind, even a 10-2 Tennessee team is more deserving or better than an 11-1 Indiana team that loses close at Ohio State.
But Hutt, add this. Tennessee would then be the fifth team, though, if they get in, right? The fifth from the SEC.
Well, potentially.
In theory.
Yeah. In this, yes. Look, I say it's four because of this, Willie, and it's just the money involved in it. Right now, each conference, Big Ten and the SEC, guaranteed $21 million every year for this. Notre Dame took concessions. They're getting $13 million, and they can't get a bye. Notre Dame's a big factor in this, too. But the team-by-team, if you get a bye, you're guaranteed to bring in $8 million because you get $4 million per round, and it jumps up to six for the semifinals and the national championship game. Point being, to me, there's no question that it's not like the committee gets in that room and just, you know, doesn't know what they're tasked with doing. I never hear anyone say it was a horrible experience for them, but it was so unorganized that they never want to do this again and would never recommend it. It's the opposite, actually. And the way they slot teams and the way that they've had teams drop with a loss, to me, it's not if you lose, but how you lose. And I think in large part they look at losses more than wins, but whenever they look at the potting system that they use, they have green squares next to the big games on the schedule, and then it fades out and it goes dark red at the bottom, and that's based on their own strength of schedule metric, graded against the teams that they have in that room. I look at that, Willie, and I think, yeah, it's a two-loss Tennessee team. Who knows what happens in the SEC championship game? But how else would you grade an SEC team against Indiana right now, given the fact that the real line of demarcation is the Ohio State matchup and what they represent in terms of where they would be at the end of the year, too?
Stephen Godfrey wrote a guest column in the Washington Post with the headline, Lane Kiffin undermined the SEC title game and the SEC should thank him, because earlier this week he mentioned that he and his rival coaches want to avoid playing in the SEC title game because a loss there could knock a program from CFP contention.
I don't think he's wrong.
Kiffin have a point?
Sure he does. But we just heard an SEC coach who's never won an SEC title in the toughest conference in America admit that he doesn't want to play for the SEC championship. Think about what they've – so to me, there have been these rumblings, and I don't know if it's official, but these rumblings that they're not going to count a loss in the title games, in these championship games, against teams on championship Saturday. I don't know how they don't, because it's a part of your resume. It's recency bias. And unlike the college basketball tournament, there's nothing that prohibits them from weighing recent wins and losses versus what you did at the first of the year.
Now, how illogical is that? Where if you win, it's an automatic bid and a buy, but if you lose, it doesn't really count at all.
Well, so
that makes no sense.
I totally agree with you. And I think what they're going to end up doing when they go to 16 is the teams that get in these championship games, both of them are automatically in. Automatic qualifiers. And I'm not saying that for the ACC or the Big 12. They're along for the ride here. But they're already floating out there that they want five guaranteed teams from the Big 10 and the SEC. Normally they get what they want. In this case, if Tennessee's in, if they lose, that's their third loss, right? Like it's detrimental to the resume and the point that you're trying to make when a day later they're going to be announcing the brackets. And I mean, again, you're better off not playing right now. And that is that's something when it represented. I mean, the Southeastern Conference, for a coach to go and win the SEC is a big deal. So, I mean, Kiffin, who's won a big game this year, is saying, it's about the national championship. And it is. But he wants to bypass the SEC championship for Ole Miss. And I don't blame him. But that's the system that they've created. I think the only way to set a precedent here, guys, is the two teams that get in to that title game are in.
Or you could just eliminate the championship game.
There's way too much money.
I know that. I know they will never do that. But if you want to get rid of that problem entirely, you just do away with the championship games, you know, and let the season play out.
They want these games they want the playoff to really begin right there. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they're saying the opposite. And I don't blame Kiffin or any coach that's not speaking out against it. By the way, this is no surprise. We knew this whenever everything was announced prior to the season. So I think it's just now jarring that you hear it from an SEC coach saying this. And it's more likely that you lose in the SEC championship game given the competition as well.
Yeah, but do you think one way, beside the obvious, which they're never going to do, get rid of the championship game, but forcing the SEC to play nine conference games, because Ten plays nine conference games. So forcing the SEC to play nine conference games instead of eight.
Well, the only way they'll go to nine is if you get the automatic qualifiers when they expand to 16. That they're guaranteed to have that money.
So they want it both ways, the SEC.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
They
own the, Mace. Sankey and Tony Petitti, they are running college sports. Like they not only do they want it their way both ways, they put all of this together. Like there's chaos they want it subjective. Mm-hmm. Because the Big Ten makes a different argument than the SEC. The Big Ten says we haven't lost down the stretch, and we've been consistent in the polls. And the SEC says, yeah, but we've played this schedule. You know, like this is who we're competing against, this schedule. It's two totally different arguments, and one of the resumes has a loss next to it.
That's why, Hutt, I think the most intriguing scenario is if there's a scenario where it's Indiana and Tennessee, and if you go with Tennessee, it's five SEC, three Big Ten. Because that is – possible, right?
Well, the only
it's
thing,
possible if it comes down to that last one. And that's you're faced with not having an even split money-wise between the two guys that you said put the whole thing together.
They're at the table. I mean, they're at the head of the table, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, but so I still think one of the five gets left out, Willie. Mm. Just on that final bracket, they will make the bracket the way they want to.
But that would mean that Indiana's in, because there's only four possible teams that get in from the Big Ten. So you need Indiana in if you're the Big Ten. You've got to find a way for
Indiana,
them to get in.
Indiana might be able to get in, but I'm saying like Tennessee could still get in and have another team drop. If Boise going to be the bye They're going to be the fourth highest ranked conference champ. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another factor in all of this. We know the one bid leagues, right? Mm-hmm. I do find it interesting, though, and I don't know. Again, Vegas is Vegas. They're building and tearing down and rebuilding casinos out there every year for a reason. The SEC over under for this tournament, for this bracket, was 4.5 teams. It dropped to 4 last night, and the extra half point went to the ACC. Mm. I found that interesting. Just for the wagering audience there. It didn't go to the Big Ten. It didn't go. It went to the ACC, where Clemson's still in the mix based on what they did.
Now, Hutt, I'm going to tell you who I believe the best team in the country is, regardless of the
Georgia
rankings. Yeah, I think Georgia is the best team Ole Miss. In the country. Is the best. I believe Georgia is the best team in the country from what I've seen of every top 10 team. You think Ole Miss?
I like Ole Miss because they're a top 25 offense and defense. We saw what they did to Georgia. But look.
But do you trust Lane Kiffin over Kirby Smart?
No. No, I'll take Kirby Smart. I would take Dabo Sweeney in the playoff too, by the way. I'll take the top coaches in the playoff that have their team ready to go. Because Georgia has an 18-point loss at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. They have a 7-point loss against Bama. They have a 15-point win against Texas, 14-point win over Tennessee, 31-point win over Clemson. But then, you know, Ole Miss, the thing that sticks out with them is that Kentucky loss. But that 18-point victory over Georgia and then a 24-point win at South Carolina with the way the Gamecocks are playing, at 7-3 South Carolina, that's a big deal, too, to the committee. I think Ole Miss has an argument to be made for where Georgia is. Texas is not that team. But they don't move. The committee doesn't budge off of the Longhorns.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. We'll be able to break this down again next week. I don't know if it's going to change a whole lot. So this is going to be a lot of drama. The stage is set here for who makes this bracket. We're just wrapping our arms around a lot of the factors here that were hard to do that with when we started. It's the first time we've gone through it. But so let's talk Titans for a second here, Hutt.
Yep.
If you go, let's just work with me here. Let's just say that you don't use the first pick that you have on a quarterback.
Okay.
And you've got maybe two really good players. One is a potential right tackle, and the other is a dynamic edge rusher with let's just say a top 10 first round pick. Which way would you lean there? Just with your need. What's the bigger need? And based on how hard it is to find those guys.
I mean, in a typical answer, Willie, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go with the edge guy. With this team, the one player that has held them back is right tackle.
But it's not like they need an edge rusher bad. Would you agree? Like that's the one thing
absolutely.
I'm looking like. Why can't they? They cannot get to the quarterback. This would be a really good defense, I think, if they had a dynamic edge rusher, but they don't have one.
Well, if they had an edge rusher, the final score is 9-6 every week.
Yeah.
You know, and because they can't move the football, and neither would the other team would be like the Titans are. So I would guess that's good and bad. But, I mean, I've never seen one player be this detrimental to an offense.
It's rough.
I mean, it's really bad. And I was talking about this with Steve Lehman from Channel 5. We crushed Ken Whisenhunt for putting Will Zvitek on an island against J.J. Watt.
Where is he at now?
I do remember that day. That was
– He probably owns half the strip in Vegas for all I know.
That doesn't even sound like a real person.
I feel like Zach Mettenberger might still have therapy, though.
Jake Locker. I was on the sideline in Houston. Jake Locker had his brains beaten in when Mettenberger had to come into that game. Oh. And it was Will Zvitek at left tackle on an island, and J.J. Watt was mic'd up for that game. Will Zvitek is the worst player in a Titans uniform I've ever seen.
It sounds like the creative player when you're playing a sports video game and they just need someone to fill the roster. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a real person.
Zvitek would whip my ass, don't get me wrong here. Okay? But he's the worst Titans player I've ever seen in a uniform. With that being said, they just rotated – a practice squad player they've had for a month with Nicholas Petit-Frere on purpose.
Don't put him back out there.
In week 11.
Don't put Nicholas back
in week 11.
You have to have a live body out there.
No. Well, do not.
Will Svitek is available. Is that the next guy that we go to?
Hey, put somebody else out there.
Will Svitek is like he's like the mountain from Game of Thrones with no athleticism.
I mean, you have to put somebody out there. That's the problem.
Quick question here. Along the lines with what Willie was saying, and we did discuss this, say if the Titans do, because my thing is, if indeed Will Levis continues to trend upward like he is, and listen, after two games, I'm not anointing him the starter.
We're talking small steps
forward.
Here, man.
Yes. If he can just continue to make incremental steps moving forward as the season ends, and the Titans decide that, okay, he looks good enough, now we're going to start to build around him. You have the number, say you have the number one pick. Would it be better for the Titans, and I said this, would it be better for the Titans to trade out of that number one pick, move down to maybe 5-6, somewhere in there in that range, and if you still, because now you would essentially probably get two first-round picks. If you can't get the quarterback you want, say with that second pick, then you go get a guy like Mac Jones, and you allow Mac Jones to compete with Will Levis, because I truly believe. No. Listen, hear me out.
Okay.
I truly believe that he needs someone to push him. You need to bring in a bona fide reliever that if it doesn't work out, you still can win football games. I said Mac Jones because I looked at Mac Jones' first year with Belichick. He had an offensive coordinator, and he was trending up. The next year, they took away his offensive coordinator, made a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and everything started to go downhill.
Really
right? Yeah, so he never had an opportunity after his first year to really progress as a quarterback or grow as a quarterback. So if you put him in a system where now he has an offensive coordinator, now he can truly compete and hopefully, which I believe you will, get more of the Mac Jones that you saw in the first year as opposed to Mac Jones that we've seen the last 2 years. And that will push Will Levis to be a better quarterback, at least to me. That's what I'm thinking. Because then you can hold off another year with getting your franchise quarterback.
Too late to do that. Should have done it this year.
Yeah, you're right.
Should have done that this year. They jumped out and got Mason Rudolph. And, I mean, if they do that, if they were to pass on the quarterback with a quarterback coach that they hired deliberately for this reason, you might as well go rehire Mike Vrabel. That's the type of offense they're going to be running. But that's what offense they have right now. This offense was averaging 2.8 yards per play before the 98-yard pass Sunday. So, like, I credit Levis for making a bad situation and finding a solution. He had a great third quarter. But – I mean, he was 6 of 6 in that third quarter. Mm-hmm. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is kind of overlooked here because he's another great storyline to it. But the facts are still the facts when it comes to where he is as an NFL quarterback. He needs more than just Mac Jones to push him. I know you would agree with that. I mean, In the first half, in the fourth quarter, if you take away the third, he's 11 of 25 for 134 yards. He's completing 44% of his passes. It's very similar to his Atlanta game in his first start. And up until Sunday, that the Atlanta game was the outlier. He did some really nice things to where you like raise an eyebrow and go, that's the NFL arm that we've been wanting to see. I liked what he showed us when they were down 16. But, I mean, and other things factor into this. The refs played a factor. So does the right tackle conundrum that he did not create. But Sunday featured good play, but also those below average moments, not just for Levis, but this entire Brian Callahan offense. So, again, if Callahan's going to stand a chance and not go out with a whimper, I mean, let's face it here. He's going to have to get his quarterback. And first 35 plays with an offensive coordinator who is a head coach because of what, you know, he's been known to do with his quarterback development. First 35 plays gained under 100 yards. But yet it's the explosive plays that we saw in the third that stand out. And that's good because we haven't seen it. But, I mean, but if we're going to get behind Levis, we've got to see more from Callahan developing this guy. And it's one or the other. And I look at Levis with the sacks he's taking and everything else. and say it can be much better than that. And I would rather have one of the rookies than Mac Jones.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on the program as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll chat next week.
Hey, Mace.
Yes.
How would you like it catching passes from Mac Jones?
Right now?
Well, I mean,
yeah.
In your prime. Listen, you want him or Shador? You want him or Shador throwing you the ball?
Listen, I'm taking Shador. But I don't think is Shador a top five pick? That's the question.
I mean, there's the draft and then there's the quarterback draft.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, yeah. I don't hate the two first round pick thing though. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that idea. I just you gotta have more evidence of what they have. And to me, it would be like a Sam Darnold type more than a Mac Jones. But I haven't even thought about Mac Jones until you bring that up. Okay. I forgot he was in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
it's fair to say a lot of people have forgotten about.
He got to play
Mac
a lot
Jones.
Of the game last week, and it didn't look so good.
Hutton, what was the name
Willie,
of the player that you referenced at the beginning of the segment? Either.
Will Vitae.
I can't even find him on Google. How do you spell that?
S-V-I-T-E-K.
Ah.
The V-Tech.
I was looking for V, not S-V.
No, the V-Tech.
I was like, this guy literally does not exist.
If he played for the Seattle Kraken, you would know how to spell that last name.
That's right.
Exactly.
That is probably true, Hutton.
Willie, are you not in Seattle?
I'm not because it's TNT tonight.
Oh, the worst broadcast. I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. No, it's good. Tonight.
No, it's not
I'm a,
good.
I'm a fan
Willie.
Of the TNT.
I'm not.
They do an excellent job, I think.
I'm biased, so that's just me.
Okay. All right.
Well, according to Wikipedia,
that's the
Will
only broadcast you get to hear, Willie.
Yes. According to Wikipedia, Will Svitek participated in the NFL Business Management and Entrepreneurial Program at Harvard Business School.
He will own a hotel on a strip.
So
like
you might
said,
not have
Hutton.
Been wrong about where he is.
He went to the class of J.J. Watt that day, man. He was mic'd up.
That's how you get life lessons. Life lessons learned right there.
Watt lined up the first snap and started laughing and said, "This is going to be an incredible day, gentlemen." That's what he said in the huddle for the defense.
It was absolute devastation.
I'm going to look up these quote-unquote highlights during the break, if we can find them.
Enjoy. J.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer because of Will Svitek.
Hutton, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. See you.
615-737-1025. While he was talking, I was looking up last names with V. I was like, this guy does not exist. I didn't hear the S before the V.
It's not Vitek Vanacek.
No.
It's Svitek.
I didn't hear the SV. I just heard
the
buff.
Yeah.
Got it. 615-737-1025. Speaking of, if this player was a hockey player, I would know how to spell his name. Chris Mason, Willie's partner on FanDuel Sports Network broadcast, will join us for his weekly discussion on the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025-1063. The game.